Devotionals Just in Time, The Gentle Whistle, Serious Challenge in Faith, 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 11. The Lord said to him, "Come out and stand before me on the mountain." While Elijah was standing, the Lord passed by, and a strong and impetuous wind blew over the mountain. The gust was so tremendous that the rocks were loosened, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was a soft whisper. When Elijah heard, he covered his face with his mantle, went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. We are talking in this series about those challenges that make our faith quicken, get going. However, some of them, we could feel them as the last drop that overflowed the glass. An example of this happened in the life of the project of the prophet Elijah, a man of God, a man who loved God, but to whom tiredness took its toll, leading him, number one, to think that he was the only prophet left in Israel. Usually this happens when we get tired and discouragement visits us, thinking that all the work we have done has been useless, because in the end, we are the only ones. Imagine all the journey of Elijah to get to the point of having to face this queen Jezebel. After being the instrument of God to show his wonders to the people, still the people hardened their hearts and did not recognize God as their Lord. Elijah could have told them, when he received the threat of Jezebel, that his work has been in vain, and began to have arguments like, for example, "I am the only prophet who speaks on behalf of God and has remained in Israel." What Elijah did not know was that God had kept 7,000 more. He was not the only one, but in this story we focus on him because it is necessary that we look at his attitude and how God manifested himself in his life, because this attitude of Elijah could be something repetitive in us too. We are not exempt to get tired, to think that our work has been in vain. We are not exempt to get discouraged at some point. The most wonderful thing of all is that God has no problem with us expressing how we feel. I believe that the biggest problem would be if we don't express it and we walk away without any motive, without any reason. We are not here to criticize what happened to Elijah, because at some point it may happen to us, but we can highlight the good that he did, and that was to go to the desert, to Sinai, to the mountain of God. And even where there were discouragement in his heart, arguments in his mind, and the tiredness was devouring him, Elijah did not try to do something out of God's will, but fleeing to the desert, the one who first spoke was to God himself, and God had no problem listening to Elijah. Of course not. God had no problem listening to his lament or his complaint. Have you ever complained? And suddenly someone has heard you complain and has answered. But you don't complain, but you do complain. And it may be true. Sometimes tiredness takes us to that point. So when God appears to Elijah through an angel, he does not exhort him, telling him, "Why do you complain so much?" or "I prepared you to this time." He just tells him, "Get up and eat." Elijah is strengthened with that food, and now he listens to the next word, because you have a long way to go. In the last devotional, we were talking about it a little bit about this, and when Elijah arrives to the cave, but there, even though he arrives to a place, to the opening of a rock, where Elijah goes to hide and maybe to have a spiritual break, as it may be happening to some, "I want to take a break." As I have heard very often, some people say, "I want to take a break in the service to God, to strengthen myself in the Lord." But instead of strengthening ourselves, we seem to move farther away, and instead of strengthening our relationship with God, we try to isolate ourselves from everything that is convenient and from everything that is the service of God, ending up being trapped by the pressures of this world. And even though we said, "I am taking time to pray, I am taking time to pray, I am taking time to think things through, I am taking time to strengthen my relationship with God," it is not so. That time that you took, in which you made a pause in the service of the Lord, the world is demanding it from you, and you are doing it through the world. Suddenly, you may say to me, the pastor doesn't agree that one should take a rest. Yes, a rest does not mean to be absent, to deviate or to move away from all the good that corresponds to serve God. To make a pause in Christ means to take a breath and not to move away. Then sometimes we confuse. That's how it happened to Elijah. He thought to take a rest, and what he did was to go into a cave, to move away from everything. It is like saying, enough is enough. I do not serve God anymore. I'd rather stay sitting down and do nothing. I love God, but I don't want to go through the same experience, and we end up pausing the ministry. I explain it this way. It is like being in college and saying, I am going to rest this semester because I feel very oppressed, very burdened, so I am going to pause the semester. You pause the semester and you keep working. You keep making money. You keep getting this sidetracked. And when the next semester comes, you did not collect enough. You spend the money. You have already conditioned your mind that this pause should be a little bit longer. When you come to see, you put a pause to the university. You interrupted the career in your life. That's what it means to get into the cleft, to get into the rock. But even there, the Lord had a deal with Elijah, and he had to learn to see things in a different way. From God's perspective, it is not about you abandoning the ministry. Maybe your problem is not with God, but with the activism that you accepted in your life to do things other than what God told you to do, because that's how it happens to us. We are in this rush and serving God, and we take attributions and burdens that God has never given us. We end up tired and telling the Lord, why is this happening to me? Why do you allow it? It's not that he allowed it. It's that you made the decision to take on burdens that God never gave you. And we ended up in the cleft of the rock, alone, separating ourselves from what is proper in the service of the Lord. There, God speaks to Elijah. But the way the event occurred calls my attention. Elijah is hiding in the cave, in the cleft of a rock. There is a strong wind. There are different supernatural manifestations where Elijah is and very strong. However, the word affirms and says the following. God was not there. In other words, God was telling Elijah, these manifestations were reminding him the supernatural events that he had experienced, killing 850 prophets of Baal, ending the worship of Baal, praying that it would not rain for 7 years, and then the 7 years praying for rain, resurrecting someone, feeding a widow, prophesying are activities, are processes of the ministry that were manifested in Elijah. And that strong wind and that earthquake alluded to those moments that Elijah had lived and that have to be shocking, because they are signs so that others can believe, can see. But God was not there, and it doesn't mean that in the middle of a miracle there is the absence of God. No, but it is a manifestation of the glory of God. But we cannot be satisfied with flashes of the glory of God when we have access to His presence, to know what is in His heart, to establish a relationship with Him, and that is what makes the difference. You may like that God paid your debt, blessed you with some economic blessings, or blessed your life with health, healed you from an illness that is seeing a strong manifestation of God, seeing like an earthquake or seeing like a strong wind. But where is God? Then Elijah experienced that there was a stillness. The stones were no longer moving. The wind was not hitting hard. There was only a small silence, a peaceful whistling. A small wind touched his face, and there he covered himself and went out to see, and there God spoke to him. In the whisper, he knew it was God. Look, God doesn't have to shout out for us to listen to him, but sometimes our mind and our heart is so full of voices, and when God speaks to us in a whisper, we do not understand or hear. After the earthquake and the strong wind, you know how this has manifested in your life. In the gentle whisper of the Lord, and it is there where he speaks to confront us and we can get up. Today, there is a gentle whisper around you, a moment of calm, listen to the voice of God and do not harden your heart, because the time comes when you have to get up and you have to continue. Get out of the cave, out of that cleft in the rock. Listen carefully to the instructions of God. Strengthen yourself and move forward. Life goes on, my beloved friends. You can imagine everything and stay in the cave, or you can listen attentively to that whisper of God that gives you peace, and that even though He does not come to tell you that things are going to change, because among other things, God did not tell Elijah that Jezebel will not chase him anymore. She will not speak ill of you. She will not be there anymore. No, nothing like that. The problems are still there. The challenges are still there. The difficulties are still there. But your heart will not be in the middle of the earthquake. Your heart will not be waiting for a strong wind. Your heart will receive that peaceful whistle that gives you peace, the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, and that tells you around you nothing has changed. And when you leave the cave, you will find pressures and the same challenges. But now you will understand how that peaceful whistle, God is the one that gives you true peace, and that even if the world has not changed, you have peace in your heart to make a difference. Lord, today I pray for each person that receives this word, and I ask that they be strengthened in you. We lift up, take away the tiredness, the discouragement, what has come as a result, Lord, of that tiredness, like being disappointed, frustrated, or thinking that our work has been in vain. Certainly nothing we do for you, Lord, is in vain. But today, I ask you for new strength. Renew our strength. Speak to us and make us understand that the earthquake is momentary, that the strong wind is momentary, but the gentle whistle will always be there. Your presence is the best and is what sustains us. Perhaps nothing around us will change, but even if nothing changes, it cannot affect us, because we have been changed by you. Our attitude is completely different, Lord, and our strength is renewed. I ask you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Today your pastor and friend Elias Hoyos has spoken to you. I speak to you. Remember that God always comes just in time, and just in time has come the Lord. I invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, Devotionals Just in Time. Look for us on Instagram as at Pastor Elias HC and as Devotionals Just in Time. And I want to invite you, if you do not have a place to congregate, write to us at 300-311-2441. And there we will give you directions in Barranquilla, where we are in San Marcos Sucre in Santa Marta, and as a virtual way you can meet with us to continue learning the word of the Lord. Remember, 300-311-2441. A big hug. Blessings.